I always say the same thing when we start an episode for Unselfish Behavior Podcast, and that is always, it's game time. It's game time. We're here right now with yet another episode of the one and only LA's number one podcast. I don't give a damn what nobody said. We say that humbly. Ain't that right? Be visuals. He nodded his head. Yes, 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 yes. We are here with yet another episode of the Unselfish Behavior Podcast with an amazing special guest. Yep. We're talking about my own personal brother. He ain't my blood brother, but you know, we act like it. We got my main man in the building. He goes by the name of Damo. Gutter in the building, you know what I'm saying? You
yes, sir. Yes, sir. Appreciate you for having me.
Hey, I'm honored to have you. You know what I'm saying? I think the team is as well. Obviously, you've been somebody that I've been knowing for years. Literally, I would say going on 4 years now, right? Yeah. About 3.5 years I've been knowing this good brother right here, Damo Gutter. It's a lot of different aspects and avenues of you in regards to your talent. I've obviously been able to be blessed enough to experience you and your talent. But before we jump into any questioning, in terms of before we jump into any conversation, I always like to allow my guests to have the platform, to have the stage, to talk a little bit about who you are, what you do, and what you stand for those of the, for those people out there that don't know you.
All right. Well, I'm Damo Gutter from Los Angeles, California, born and raised.
Yep.
Been making music all my life. Been a music lover all my life. Been recording now, I say, since about ninth grade.
Nice.
Been making, I would like to say, hits.
Yeah.
Up until this point, still making hits. But yeah, I make music for the streets, and I make music for how I feel at the time or what I'm going through.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
What somebody else may be going through.
I love it. Obviously, we got a poster right here. The people going to look, and they're going to be like, damn, what is this? What's going on? Talk a little bit about what's going on right here.
Oh, man, it's just the Still Gutter poster right here.
Still Gutter.
Still Gutter drops this Friday, December 20th.
Yeah.
On all platforms, 5-song EP that I put everything I could into.
Love it.
This is the first time I ever printed out posters like this and really went full-fledged with a project. I've had projects come out and I kind of half-assed them. But now I feel like I got the right team behind me. I got the right production. I got the right people in my corner, and we pushing it hard and we finna go to the top.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Do you think more artists should take opportunities like this to push their content? I think a lot of people in today's time, we had a guest, I forgot what guest it was, but they were talking about the difference between Nip. I'm not even sure if it was our guest, but I heard an interview to where a brother was talking about Nipsey, and he was talking about how strategic he moved, right? So if he's dropping a song, he's dropping visuals, he's doing promo, he got the posters, he's, you know, making sure that all type of different avenues are being explored and not just saying, yo, I'm dropping an EP. How important do you think it is for artists and musicians in this day and age and social media era to make sure that they putting visuals behind their stuff, they having a strategic game plan, you know, they purchasing ads? How important is it to have the whole package when you're putting out content?
excuse me. Nowadays, it's very important. And being an independent artist, it's very expensive too. So with that being said, you got to know what you spending your money on, what you putting your money into, who you spending your money with.
Yeah.
Because if you want quality, you know, you got to spend money to get, you know, good quality music.
Yeah.
It's just a lot that go into just being independent. It takes a lot to really put into your music, especially like you don't have nobody behind you. But now, like I said, it's all about your team, Q.
Right.
You got a decent team, not even a decent team. If you got a great team behind you,
it's unstoppable.
You're going to get to where you need to go. And it's like, I had people behind me, and we've done great work, but I just feel like now is just the time where we really are going hard, like really, really going hard. The whole Gutter gang, the whole Gutter team, my cousin, my other cousin that's, you know, helping me out too, we just really going hard, and it take a village to really push it.
Absolutely, taking it to the next level.
Right.
Right, obviously we're going into a new year. I think, you know, in regards to working with a team, you knew me around the time when I had 15 motherfuckers working for me.
Right.
You knew me around that time.
Yeah.
And a lot of people was like, yo, how you get 15 different creatives that bring different aspects to your brand for free? Like, all these people working for me with free. That ain't even asking for no bread. But it's like, wow, to be able to have people around you that believe in your vision so much that they understand the importance of investment. I always talk to people about having a small circle or just having the, you know, really direct people that you can just kind of rely on to take care of things. What is your opinion in regards to people who have, you know, especially rappers, man, having a whole entourage around them in the studio when they go out, when they, what's that dynamic
like? That's crazy that you talking about this. Me and my boy Raj, shout out Raj, we was having a conversation. if you got people around you, everybody got to be accountable for their role.
There we go.
So you can have 100 people around you, but everybody got to know their role. You got to know that you the chef. You got to know that you take out the trash. You got to know that you listening to the beats, making sure that they crisp and clean before they come to me. You got to know that you helping me pick out my clothes, and that's what your job is. That's your role. Don't cross paths over here. Right. If you don't scramble eggs in the morning, don't try to go scramble the eggs. Yeah, go just focus on the pancakes. Like,
yeah, flip them.
That if, and it comes to the person that's in charge. You're not even in charge. The team leader got to let that be known. Like, look, this is what I need you to do, and this is what I need. This is what I see you doing because I know this is what you can do.
Yeah.
Now, I can show you how to do this other thing, but once you accomplish this first, then we can jump into something else.
Right,
because
right,
I'm still learning this other avenue, too, because I'm not like a brain genius, so I got to still learn. Just like you teaching me, I'm teaching you. So it's a team, really a team effort.
Right. That's real, and I can relate to that on a million levels, right? Obviously, having that many people working for me, and then getting to a point to where I'm like, you know what? I don't even feel like I'm in a space right now to where I need this much help. For a long time, Damo, especially when I first started on the scene, and you knew me as an event producer, you knew me as a poet, as a host, as a speaker. And, you know, you've been to my events. You know what I'm saying? All of my events, for the most part, have been very lit in regards to attendance, in regards to energy, right? And for me, for a long time, bro, I felt like I didn't need a team. You ever felt like that before? You ever felt like, and usually people feel like that when they're building their empire at the lower levels. But I feel like once you get to a certain level, you like, okay, I need solid people around me. Have you ever experienced that?
No, I've been saying since day one I need a team.
Nice. Love it.
Because I just know certain things I lack in that other people can do.
There we go.
Like, I understand, like, yeah, I should know how to make beats, but I don't. That's why I got Reggie Racks, or I have Kaiser. That's because that's what they do.
That's what they do.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and it's not because I'm lazy or I don't have a lack of interest in it. That's just not what I do.
Right.
That's just not what I don't make beats. I write lyrics.
Right.
So that's why I have someone to make beats for me.
Absolutely. And talking to people, especially creatives and musicians, I'm always fascinated by the creative process of people, right? And you do make really good content. You make good music. I mean, a few of your performances, you done pulled your boy King Q up on stage. Like, yo, Q, come up here, turn up with a nigga. And I'm like, you know what I'm saying? I've been there every time, right?
Yeah.
Damo Gutter done called me on stage quite a few times. But his music is moving, right? It's moving. You make good music, in my opinion. But what I'm saying is this. How many times have you experienced people who come off as supportive or come off like they have good intentions, but then you find like, oh damn, bro, was a snake all the time, or sis was not as loyal as I thought she was? Have you experienced that aspect of relationships?
Yeah.
What's that been like for you?
Disappointing. Disappointing in a way, because like, if I feel like I'm loyal to you,
yeah,
I'm gonna be loyal to you.
Yeah.
I give you my last dollar.
Yeah.
Even though I don't want to, yeah, I will though.
You've always been like that too. That's real.
I don't mind helping nobody, but I just feel like when it comes to me, people don't extend the hand as much, and that's my fault for being too nice to motherfuckers. For always being, not saying a yes man, but all right, whatever. Come on.
Right.
Instead of no.
Right. You know I tell people all the time, Damo, saying no is probably one of the most powerful aspects of self-love. I think we're in a community and in a society now to where you get judged for saying no, right? You get judged for saying no, especially for people who've helped you. Like for me, I've experienced having relationships with people on a friendship level, on a situationship level, on whatever. You know, I've experienced a lot of different relationships, but you know, you can kind of see and experience when someone's giving you something because they're expecting a return, opposed to someone who's giving you something because it's out the kindness of their heart.
See, what's that been like for you? See, nowadays, I go off the vibe.
There we go.
Like, it's people hit me up my DM. Oh, I'm doing cheap promo and all this. Man, get the fuck out of here,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, get out of here with all that.
I'm only fucking with people that want to fuck with me.
Yeah.
Just because they want to fuck with me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not paying you to fuck with me. I'm not kissing your ass to fuck with me.
There we go.
Like, if you want to fuck with what I got going on, you're more than welcome. But you're going to be fucking with what I got going on.
There we go.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
for sure.
That's what people got to understand. Like you said, some people don't want to hear no. Like, it's been times people try to come in like, oh, you should try. Like, no.
Right.
I'm sticking to what I'm doing now because I know I have a formula now.
Right.
And this is what I'm sticking to.
Right.
And if you want to be a part of this, You can be a part of it, but you got to go with what we got going.
There we go. There we go. You jumping on board to my agenda. I'm not jumping on board to yours. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Yeah, for sure. Now, in regards to your journey, now we're about to jump into the journey aspect of what you do. A lot of people meet people like me, like you. And what I mean by that is people who are being productive within their calling. People who are being productive within their calling. I'm not talking about busybodies. Mm-hmm. It's a difference between people who are busy and people that are productive. Okay. So you're the type of person, from what I experience, when you're moving and when you're shifting and when you're working towards projects, it's because you have a game plan in mind, you have a vision in mind, you're working towards something, opposed to just saying yes to every opportunity just to portray as though you're productive, but you're really just busy. And I tell people all the time, you can be busy your whole entire life and never reach purpose. I'm gonna say that one more time. You could be busy your whole entire life. Always moving, always doing something, and never even fulfill the reason you was down here. What's the difference to you between, I'm about to go there with you, Damo, because you know I get deep on them. What's the difference between your dreams and what you feel like your purpose is, what you were sent down here to do? Talk to me about the difference between those two things for you and how you experience them.
I feel like in your early days, you could pretty much do anything you wanted to do. Mm-hmm. But by the time you know get a certain age, that's when you should know what the fuck you gonna be doing.
Right.
At least by 50, you should know what. Okay, now what the fuck is my calling? Now I didn't try to do all of these other things.
Right.
And I'm still in this. Same with me. I'm gonna keep rapping until I can't rap no more because I feel like that's my calling.
Love it.
But if it go down to it where it's like, well, damn, I done did all this. I guess my calling was flipping burgers, and I'm going to be just a 50, 60-year-old nigga flipping burgers. But I'm going to keep chasing my dreams.
There we go. That's right.
That's the bottom line. I'm going to go down fighting.
That's right.
Regardless of what anybody think. Like, oh, yeah, you never going to make it. All right, well, if I don't make it, I'm just not going to make it. But I'm going to still keep trying.
I love it.
Nigga be 70 rapping. I don't give a fuck. I'm going to keep going.
Shit, Jay-Z doing it. This nigga, what, 50-something? He put something out right now. Niggas going crazy. Niggas going wild. That's real.
I'm not saying, but to be honest with you, a lot of cats my age and younger, we don't think about like Social Security. We don't think about nothing. Because I ain't going to laugh. I say I don't laugh, but I do look at older people that do security, working at Vons and Walmart and shit. Like, you ain't saved no money, or what the fuck was you doing in your early years?
Yeah,
like,
ain't that something? Yeah.
You don't have nothing going on. Like, I don't want to be like that.
Right.
So that's why I do push myself, or I try to push myself so hard to get, not just, I don't even want to get into industries per se, but I want to be in a position where I'm straight, my family's
there
straight.
There we go.
I don't got to be no huge fucking star, but I want my music to be heard. And regardless if my shit don't get on the shelf where it's supposed to be, if I croak tomorrow, people going to still listen to shit. My shit going to still be here, period.
What's the key to that? What's the key to having the type of music that lives on even long after you gone? What's the key to that? Because it's only a select few artists, I would say, maybe 10 that I'll be able to name to where it's like, nigga, you put that shit on right now and you moving. What's the key behind putting out content and music that's gonna live forever?
It's what the people make it.
There we go. I like that.
Like, you could, the person that make the song don't know it's going to be that's a timeless real classic.
Yeah.
The people make it a timeless classic.
Yeah.
The people.
That's real.
Like, family reunions,
weddings.
Right. Like that. Meet Me at the Altar. They don't know that song was going to be no. Right. But that shit being played right now to win it somewhere. Like, facts. The people make the songs a classic. The people make shit go viral. The people make shit bigger than what it already is. Like, and my time going to come where somebody going to be like, you know what? This a classic. Let me tell the people this is a classic.
It's crazy because a lot of the people that I know in the community, you one of them included, I already look at y'all. I've been saying that for years, bro, and you know that. I look at y'all like y'all celebrities now. Like, I literally, bro, the first thing I said, nigga, when I got out of my car downstairs, nigga, I'm singing one of your fucking songs. Nigga, I didn't even say hi to you. You know what I'm saying? Like, right when I look at you, you just remind me of, like, the fucking hits that pop up in my head. You know what I'm saying? You mentioned something very,
That's what's crazy is you talking about stuff that I was talking about all weekend with my partners. Like, I swear to God, my homies just was like, we were just chilling. We're in Vegas. They was like, you act like a rapper. I'm like, what you mean? Like, y'all dare you be spitting your rhymes? You dress like a rapper. You just carry yourself like a rapper. When people see you, they act like they know you. You act like you know them. Like, it's just how you, I don't know. It's just, I'm good at that. I can make a person believe that they know me.
That's
real. Never seen me in their life.
Yeah.
You ain't seen me in your life. I'm gonna make you feel like, damn, I have seen him before. I know him.
Right.
You don't know me, nigga. You think you, you know think me. You know me. That's it's one of those gifts that I have.
Yeah, like, for
people
sure.
People really think that they, I don't know, just I'm just good at that.
Yeah, you exude a very confident energy, something I've always admired about you. I can relate to it. You know, you exude the type of energy to where it's like, nigga, you already made it. Like, you walk in that type of fucking energy. You know what I'm saying? And so it's very easy for people who are not familiar with that energy to look at that and be like, damn, who is this nigga? Damn, what do you do?
Maybe, shit, maybe that's my calling. Maybe I'm walking into my calling and my purpose. And like I said, even if I don't make it, people going to see, like, that nigga always had the rapper glow. I may be famous after my death. We don't know. But regardless, like you said, that glow is on me. Right now, later on, tomorrow, next week, that glow is still going to be there.
When people say made it, this is one thing I always question. Something that just makes me think. What the fuck does that mean?
When somebody say made it?
Because I look at you now. I told Stevie Hearts the same thing. Shout out my boy Stevie Hearts. In my eyes, you made it because you're saying yes to your calling. In my eyes, you made it because you're healthy. In my eyes, you made it because you have balance.
It's a checklist of things.
Like what the fuck do people mean when they say, when I make it? I just feel like that's a never-ending fucking mountain. Because once you make it to where you think you're supposed to make it at, there's always another
level. Different, it goes into different, like...
We'll talk about it then.
Different subjects, better. Like...
Yeah.
A football player might cap out at the max. Like, I made it. Like, I'm in the NFL. Like, that's what, you
know. A lot of niggas do that, too.
But it all just depend on what your profession is. I feel like you've made it when you can purchase your mama a house.
Gotcha.
And you got your family straight. Made it.
So financial freedom, you equate that to...
No. That's not that. Money ain't nothing.
So how the fuck you gonna buy your mama a house?
When you happy within yourself and everybody around you happy, you go. That's when you made it.
That's different. That's what I'm talking about.
But that takes money to do that, though.
Well, nigga, that's what I just said.
But that's not everything, though. Your family gotta be happy regardless of what you got money or not.
Right.
So that's just...
They gotta support you, too.
Yeah, regardless. If I got 100 million or 100 pennies.
Right.
I'm still Dominique. Like,
that's right.
And that's how I think why... A lot of people, I don't know, respect me and my grandfather relationship.
Like, I
a
love
lot of
people it so don't, much. I love y'all.
A lot of people don't know I take care of my grandpa. Like, my cousin it. Help, you know, but like, shit, I don't got that. He don't got nobody else but me. You know what I mean? So a lot of my stuff that I do learn come from my grandpa. How so I carry myself a little bit. Like, yeah, I'm young, but I still got like a little older old spirit.
Soul. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And that's a testament to grandpops.
Yeah, G-Pops, you know, he look out a lot for me.
That's real.
A whole lot.
That's real.
And that's why I think that's why I stay out a lot of, you know, I ain't gonna say I'm in the streets or nothing like that, but I know I got somebody that's looking forward for me to come home later on.
That's real.
Because they need me. You feel me? So that's I don't real. Be out
there wilding.
Yeah, doing too much stupid shit like that.
I love it. Now, in the type of field you in, there's always two sides of the spectrum. What do I mean by that? I mean that behind closed doors and me being a creative, me being an artist myself and an influencer, I understand that it takes finances to build an empire. And a lot of times you don't have the finances to make moves. Mm-hmm. Like, so for me, that's probably been, if I'm being completely transparent with you, bro, that's been the most frustrating part about saying yes to my purpose. Because you have, you know,
having money to back
it. When you got kids, when you got bills, when you got rent, what is your remedy for people who struggling with that right now?
A team.
There we go.
A team. If I don't got it, you see the person behind you? I can ask my cousin.
Cuzzo, I need that.
Cousin, I need so-and-so, and I need you to do it. Please.
That's real. Right.
Regardless of what it is.
Yeah.
He's in Washington. I can still call, bro,
Yeah. We're trying to make this play.
Even if I say, I need $100, she might ask what's it for, but then again, she might not ask what's it for.
Yeah.
She's just going to trust my judgment that I need the $100 or whatever I need.
I love it.
You got to find people around you that's going, regardless of what the fuck you got going on, what they got going on, they for you and you for them.
I love it.
Period. Just like how you call me, not saying put our business out there, but you've called me. Oh,
absolutely.
Can you donate?
Absolutely.
What's the cash app, bro?
Nope. Yep.
Because later on down the line, I may have to hit you like, yo, I'm in a jam, fam. Send me a lift.
And you have. And I sent it right to you. Absolutely, you have. Yeah, I need this play in Vegas, bro. I'm trying to. No problem, bro. Boom. Boom. So for me, reciprocity is everything in relationships. You know what I'm saying? Like the ability to have two people or multiple people who are pouring into each other. Right. I'm big on that type of stuff. Like not just a one sided transaction. Like I'm always the only one that's given. Like, no, if Damo gotta pick that phone up and he needs something for me in return, then that's a guarantee. Yes.
But if you, let me go back to it. If you don't have a team, what you should do is put your money in the right places. Like find a budget within what you got.
Gotcha.
If you working 40 hours a week and you know you only getting 900 every 2 weeks or something like that, find how you can use 30 of that to put on the Instagram promotion. Facts. Find the person that, just because you don't have the money, but they like, you know what, I know you don't got the money right now, but I'm going to let you record anyway, bro.
Right.
Find that nigga that's on your bumper like that. Find a nigga that's like, bro, I know you don't get paid for another week, but I want to shoot. Let's go shoot.
Let's do it.
Just go. I don't give a fuck. Let's just shoot. You got to find people like that. People that's just as hungry as you.
Yeah.
That don't, they like, I don't get paid till next week either, bro. But let's
make it happen. Let's figure it out.
I don't give a damn, man. Let's try to get to San Jose and do this show.
Yeah.
You got to just find people around you that believe in you like you believe in them.
That's real. And that takes a certain mindset, too. That takes a certain mindset. I think it takes a level of crazy, too, by the way, Damo Gutter. I mean, motherfuckers, I tell people all the time, like, man, once people start telling you that you crazy on your journey, like, damn, you crazy to do that? My mom told me, man, love my mom's greatest mom in the world. But she told me when I told her moms, I'm not ever working another traditional job in my life. I'm not working no jobs that's out of alignment
with my purpose. They think that that's taboo, man.
That's crazy. But this is very important, what I'm about to say. People need to stop asking their parents in particular. People are dealing with this stuff right now. You need to stop asking your parents for advice on things that they've never done. Mm. I'm going to say that one more time. Stop asking your parents for advice on shit they've never even dreamed of doing. A lot of our parents, when we 28, you know, 30 years old, whatever, 25. Bro, do you realize our parents were raised in the fucking 60s? They're raised in a, bro, it wasn't no fucking entrepreneurship back then. It wasn't nobody quitting no 9-to-5 jobs. It wasn't nobody leaving no 401ks on the table. So they looking at that like, nigga, are you crazy? Like what, you get paid 20 an hour and you about to walk away from that? Boy, you better retire from that. I'm really, really big, Damo, on really like, and I had to experience both ends of it. But now I'm in a space to where it's like, bro, I don't even give a fuck. My ears is plugged because I'm so clear on where I'm going.
They right and wrong.
Okay, so talk to me about what you've experienced in that realm.
They right, because a nigga needs some, you need some bread, because they old and broke. So they telling us the real, like,
right.
you do need to find a good job, because I'm struggling still. I'm 45 or I'm 53, still paying off my truck or still paying off the house. Your ass need to find a better job or, you know, whatever the case is, but your parents got to also understand, like, what about your dream? What was your dream at one point?
There we go. And they
What did you wanted to be something at one point? Why didn't you become that?
Yeah.
And then you find out later on, well, grandmama didn't have the money to do this. Mm. Grandmama didn't have the means to do this. But you got to be like, well, that's why I have the means now. 2020 coming into.
Yeah.
We got this. We got that. And they got to just change with the times. Like,
yeah.
The game is changing every day, and our parents are getting older, and we getting older too.
Yeah,
because I know I look at my mom, I'm like, you are getting a little bit older, and I'm getting older too.
Yeah,
and I got a little brother, he's getting older, so all of us is all aging at the same time. Right. You know what I mean? It's like a triangle. Everybody, you looking at your mom get old, while she looking at you, and you looking at him. But they gotta just understand, like, this generation, it's not that we lazy.
Yeah.
We see these white people got money. They doing this. They doing that. These Latinos got businesses.
Yep.
They doing whatever it is. And it's not just knowing Arabs, they are cutting grass. It's not even that. They have real estate businesses.
Yeah, landscaping.
Like, they do taxes. Like, there's all type of money out here that these other ethnicities are getting.
Yeah.
But
we want a piece of that.
We want a piece of it, but we not thinking big. We still thinking get a job.
I think we're thinking big. I think we are in an age of like entrepreneurship booming at the highest level I've ever imagined it in the black community. I've been seeing a fucking shift within the black community in particular in terms of us walking towards shit that we love. us really glamorizing entrepreneurship. I see it every day on social media. Like, niggas is quitting their job and like comments flooded. Congratulations, sis. Congratulations, bro. So I feel like we're in a pivotal age. We are in the age to where it's like, if you losing in this generation, nigga, you're going to be losing for the rest of your fucking life. Mm-hmm. You can literally, somebody just told me this recently too. You can make a business out of fucking anything. Nigga, you don't, and now we're at a level to where you don't need big market companies to make it. You don't need big market companies to back you. Nigga, we have social fucking media monster. You literally, nigga, you got little ass fucking kids. Nigga, don't believe me. Go to YouTube right now.
Making
kids, multi-millionaires, nigga, for making, I just talked about this shit with DJ Charisma. Like, nigga, they're making slime. Like, they're just doing what they love. Right. And like you said something very interesting, evolving with the times, allowing yourself. Talk to me about the importance of allowing yourself as a rapper, as a musician, to evolve with the times. Because Damo, we got to be honest, we are in a state of hip hop right now to where it's like, I really don't even know what direction it's going. I don't know what the fuck it is. All these niggas sound alike. All these niggas look alike, from face tattoos to colored dreads. I don't know what the fuck is going on.
I'm going to tell you, like,
talk to me about it.
I seen a video, Too Short said it. Too Short was like, he not mad at how the state of hip hop is going right
now. Me neither. I'm just confused. Because
hip hop was born on originality, being different. Mm. Like, if you can rap different from the next person, or you can come with something different, that makes you different. That makes you the shit. That makes you popping. Yeah. But you gotta, in today's society, it's all about numbers. It ain't about the music. So one person I do commend for bringing back music is DaBaby. DaBaby
is, fuck with him so heavy.
Man, that nigga is about to be, what, 28, 27? He's our age, you feel me? And that nigga really rap. He opening the door for niggas that can actually rap.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that he opened the door for me or personally or anybody in my camp The influence he got on older niggas listening to hip hop again, really. Like, I mean, we were still listening to it, but
I was surprised when I first heard the nigga. I'm like, damn, this nigga really talking some shit though.
Man, I'm tired of hearing these young little, I mean, I don't have nothing against them, but I don't pop pills. I don't sip lean like that. I don't do none of that shit. Right. So it don't really grasp me like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the diamonds and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That shit don't grasp me either, because I've been seeing that shit since the early 2000s with Lil Wayne and LL Cool J. These niggas been having big gold and diamonds. Yeah. Birdman been having, that's like, real. Gucci, man, we been, like, niggas our age been seeing that. So when I see niggas our age clout chasing to get that kind of shit, it's like, bro, you've been seeing that. Yeah. Especially if you're from L.A., just get a simple gold.
Get you a little something, something.
You feel me? Some simple shit and just call it a day. But
yeah,
you too old to be trying to do the most, like. Yeah.
I always ask my rapper homeboys this. I ask my boy Stevie Hearts this as well. Along your journey, you mentioned independency, right? As a rapper, as an artist. How important is independency for musicians right now? Because I feel like, you know, again, I think that all the resources and tools that you need to succeed in your realm is already there without having a record label. You know what I'm saying? So how many rappers, how many comedians, how many, you know, singers have we seen blow up just off social media alone? No fucking backing, no work. Like, one of my favorite rappers out right now, Toby, nigga ain't got no fucking record label. Nigga booming on a fucking global tour right now, doing his thing. And self-independent. How important is independency, and what advice would you give people that's kind of chasing, you know, being signed by a record label right now?
It depends on what kind of music you make. Mm-hmm. If you make pop music and you make some, you know, like, I was trying to make commercial music. Honestly, like, all last year and the year before, I was trying to make commercial music.
Yeah.
Why? Because I guess I wanted to get signed, but I knew that lane was kind of open for LA.
Right.
Because, you know, that we was on some
of course
other stuff. So I was like, let me be commercial for a minute. But then that wasn't really working too well. Mm-hmm. So I went on and went back to the drawing board and got back on what I used to be on. But if you're trying to be a major global artist, you do need a label behind you.
You think so?
You do. If you're trying to just be, I wouldn't say regular, but just in the know and the masses have somebody looking at you. Because a lot of these times people think that these cats not signed, but they be signed.
How about Chance the Rapper? Is this nigga signed?
Yes.
He signed? A lot of niggas, I feel like he's like the poster boy of not being signed. And I'm like, I swear this nigga signed.
Like, when you go to their Spotify, when you go to their iTunes, go all the way to the bottom.
Fucking Interscope or Interscope, Def Jam or
Universal, Atlantic. Like, don't let them fool you. Like, they got it on their own, they you know, they got their freedom. Independent means a lot.
Yeah.
Like that word don't just mean just one thing in hip hop. Like word means a lot. In the hip hop world, you could be an independent artist, meaning you got the independency within your label, or you can be an independent artist, meaning that you run your label, like DaBaby. He's an independent artist through his label, but he's signed.
Got you.
No one's independent like that. Got like, you. They have someone behind them on, not pushing a machine, but somebody corporate that's guiding them, putting their stuff in the right places. Mm. And I'm not saying I would love to have a label call me. Oh, we want to help you out. But I'm gonna let it be known, like, you can push buttons behind the scene, but it's independent.
Would you? yeah. That's real. One thing that we witness a lot too, and I'm thinking about the rapper from Chicago, light skinned brother, Vic Mensa. Vic Mensa, I remember before he got big.
I don't really know too much about
bro was straight bars though. Like straight fucking bars, straight out of Chicago, dope ass fucking rapper. But my question is pretty broad, so I think you can still answer it. He gets in the industry and he's literally looks like a completely different fucking nigga than he did when I was following the nigga, when he was dropping mixtapes and shit. Are you concerned with being signed and having them try to change who you are? Change your authenticity, tell you what to dress, tell you how to look, tell you what to... Because I just feel like, bro, to be completely honest with you, I'm not a stupid ass. So I feel like, okay, from an industry perspective, I'm not in the industry, but from the outside looking in, bro, my perspective is, I don't think it's a fucking coincidence that every last one of these niggas look the same. I don't think that's a fucking coincidence at all. I can name 10 niggas right now that all look and sound the same, but they booming like a motherfucker. Are you concerned with them changing your authenticity and who you are? Like, nigga, I don't want you wearing gold no more. I need you to sip a little something. I need you to color them motherfuckers green. Are you concerned with anything like that?
No.
Why is that?
Because I'm gonna stand firm in what I believe in.
Well, I'm not giving you this 1.5 million keep unless it. Okay, boom, there we go.
Keep it. I'm gonna stand solid on what I believe in, and I'm not with that.
Okay, I love
I'm not,
it.
I'm not with that, like. Yeah. You gonna, like I said, if you gonna fuck with me, you gonna fuck with me for the vibe.
There we go.
You gonna fuck with me because you like my music. I'm not paying you to do no. Oh, like I said, I'm doing cheap promo and I can get like, bro.
Yeah.
Niggas will hit me. Oh, I like your song. I'm doing this. Like, bro, if you like the song, and that's another thing. Like, remember you asked me to say. I said I don't like when these people that got platforms are asking for money already that they're getting paid for already with a platform.
Got you.
You already have a platform. Why are you being so greedy and asking for more money? You're getting paid from this platform already.
You talking about in performances, like people trying to pay to play? Like trying to
Instagram have artists pay Facebook, Twitter, whatever. Oh, pay me to promote you. Like, I understand everything's not free, but you already getting paid from this platform already.
Yeah.
You already getting paid from this.
Yeah.
Like, what's so hard about promoting the next, especially LA artists? They have a hard time promoting each other. Like, there's a small circle, a knit circle, like, okay, these LA rappers fuck with each other. These LA rappers fuck with each other. And it's all hood politics and all that kind of stuff. And it's just like, man, we all from the same city, making the same, not same type music, but making the same feel good music. What's so hard about you promoting my shit, cross promoting your shit?
Right. What do you think is the different is going to be the difference maker between bridging that gap between LA artists? Because we had, you know, a guest on here who was talking about the same thing in regards to just kind of how artists in hip hop in LA in particular, you know, those are kind of some hurdles. Those are kind of some whispers that actually happens behind closed doors in regards to, you know, artists in LA in particular, you know, promoting. How do we bridge that gap? How do we start working towards bettering that?
Niggas just gotta just start leading by example, like myself. I reach out to LA artists.
Yeah.
Yo, fuck with me. I fuck with you. Let's
just leading by example.
Let's do this. Let's do that. Yeah. And I can't force nobody to do nothing. Yeah. And I think a lot of times I don't say unsigned or unpopular in LA, because I wouldn't say I'm unpopular in LA either.
Just kind of up and coming.
Yeah, it's just up and coming.
Up and coming.
I wouldn't say cats is fearful, but they like.
Look at you like competition type.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I know for a fact I could compete with these cats in LA on the performance. For sure. Performance-wise.
No brainer.
Song-wise. We can go song for song. I know for
facts.
Sure.
Facts.
I know for a fact. And I'm not challenging nobody, but if a nigga won't smoke, he won't smoke. No one in LA can outperform me.
Yeah. I love it.
That's just a fact. Yeah. That's a fact.
I mean, listen, Damo Gutta, man, this is one of the most passionate people that I've met, and I love you because of it. And when he says that, I've witnessed the shit. I've worked, Damo, you know, I've worked with a lot of rappers. I've worked with a lot of singers. I've worked with a lot of comedians, a lot of musicians all throughout LA. I mean this. I have never seen a musician with the type of fucking energy you have on stage. I've seen Damo Gutta literally perform in front of 7 people. The same fucking energy. I've seen Damo Gutta perform in front of 100 people. The same fucking energy. Consistency is very important. I always find, so for me, when I'm doing these podcasts, I always try to put myself in the perspective of the listener, right? What do they want? When they look at this episode, what are people who are in the same field as you looking for inspiration? And the first thing I think about, bro, is so many people out here that's doing what we do, doing what you do in particular, and they have days to where they want to quit. They have days to where it's like, man, I ain't doing this shit no more.
Magnificent. I had every emotion, bro. Still having every emotion, bro.
Yeah.
That's real, bro. This is hard, man.
Yeah.
To get somebody, a stranger, to be like, yeah, I like you and your music. First of all, it ain't even about the music no more. People just be wanting to like you.
Damn.
They don't give a fuck about your music.
Yeah.
They want to see you do some stupid shit or...
Yeah,
just how you are in just personally.
Talking to Mike a little bit more, if you
can. A little bit, like how you know, just personally. Yeah. Like that's another thing. Like I'm funny on Instagram. A lot of people like me just for me being funny.
Yeah.
So that I think that's why the music is carrying over the way it is now, because I'm being a little bit more, like you said, open and more just being more myself.
Right. Now I'm thinking about, I don't know what the fuck. So when I interview people, just shit just be popping up in my fucking head, be visuals, and I love it. And so I just say shit. So you'll find that I go a lot of different avenues. I go a lot of different directions, especially when I feel like people got the point on a certain category. I just went to relationships, and I think about rappers. You got to talk to me about this.
Okay.
We live in a time to where niggas are so fascinated with taking somebody else woman. Huh? Don't act like you don't hear this fucking music, nigga. What the fuck is that? What happened to music and people glamorizing what they already have? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, everybody wanna fuck your baby mama. Everybody wanna fuck you. Like, nigga, why? Like, nigga, what the fuck? Nigga, just go get a... Where did that come from? And are you into that? You be trying to get it in with people? You know what I'm saying?
Nah.
What's up with that?
I don't know really where that came from. But I think that's more of a black thing.
Where the fuck it come from?
I don't know.
Be like, visuals. What you laughing at, nigga? You be talking about it too?
Yeah, that's really, like, I think that's just something in the black community. Niggas taking each other women. Women taking each other men.
And then get your own.
That's just something that, I don't know why, but we kind of glorify that in hip-hop.
Yeah.
We kind of glorify, like, ass shaking, blunt smoking, liquor. Right. That's what hip-hop artists do, not on a daily, but that's just what hip-hop artists put out there. And it's not a good message, not all the time, but it could be a little bit doctored up.
How do you feel about the stigma behind hip-hop artists glamorizing a certain skin tone of black women?
That's trash.
Talk about it.
Because I used to be like that.
Yeah,
that's trash.
A lot of rappers are.
That's trash. I used to only like light-skinned women. But that's trash, bro.
Yeah.
That's trash.
What changed for you? Don't fucking lie to me either, Damo Gutta.
At one point, I was just heavily on my research, like, about history, black people, slavery, all that kind of stuff. I was about to brainwash myself, so I just stopped. I felt myself about to be brainwashed over that.
Be honest, nigga, you start coming to King Q events. Changed you up, nigga. Got around the black conscious community. Changed you up.
A little bit, because I was really just focused. But you got to think about that, too. My mom is light-skinned, so the first woman you see is your mom. So you want a light-skinned woman like your mom. Somebody that reminds you of your mom.
Right.
But then I just being around other people, and I was like, man, these women are pretty beautiful. Like, they are a little dark-skinned chocolate.
A little chocolate up there. You know what I'm saying?
They're cute. And then it just started. That little bigotry faded off of me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Black is beautiful, baby.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I love it, man. Damo Gutta, man. It has been a complete honor. I think you touched on some things, bro, that were needed to be discussed. I'm very excited about the transparency, bro, that you displayed, right? And for you kicking game as well. So for the Unselfish Behavior Podcast, bro, it's all about inspiring the people through art, through what we do, yeah. right? And I want people to just know other aspects of artists that they praise. And you're on your way, bro. I feel like you're already there. I just feel like, nigga, when you see Damo Gutta, when you listen to his music, when you see his performances, it's literally a no-brainer. Like, nigga, once the right person see you, it's game over. You know what I'm saying? So, bro, I just say stay consistent. Keep inspiring. Keep your team closed. Keep being a leader that you are, bro. Keep your passion. And don't ever let nobody make you feel, bro, that you, like, you know what I'm saying, like you too turned up. Because I deal with it all the fucking time with me being a, you know what I'm saying, a speaker and always talking and just being expressive and passionate about how I am. I say don't change yourself for absolutely nobody. I'm proud of you. Before we end out every episode with the Unselfish Behavior Podcast, my radio voice, nigga, you see how I switched that on like that? Before we end out every single episode with the Unselfish Behavior Podcast, we always like to allow our guests to take a look at this camera right here and end off what we call here an unselfish message. This message is basically going to be your ending remarks for anybody out there that's watching this episode, right? So this message can be centered around absolutely anything you want the people to know. What is Damo Gutta's unselfish message?
Keep being you. And don't ever let nobody make you feel worthless. Don't ever let nobody make you feel like you're not doing enough. Even if you are doing enough, don't let them make you feel like you're not doing enough when you really are doing enough. Continue to chase your dreams. Don't let nobody tell that you're not going to accomplish your dreams. Even if it takes you 100 years, you're still going to be able to do it with that motivation and that drive. Shit, still Gutta on the way.
Yes.
December 20th, we 3 days away. Yeah. Still Gutta out right now. We at 80,000. Man, I'm just thankful for, you know, people around me, seeing my vision, seeing what I wanted to do. King Q, I appreciate you for always opening your doors for me. Mm-hmm. You feel me?
Always,
shout out TPGP.
Come on now.
The whole Gutta gang, you already know what it is. Mike P in the building for me. You know, day one, my bro, 5 block in the building. You know what it is, man. We just gonna keep grinding and keep pushing. You know what it is, man. Still Gutta on the way.
Hey, listen, you gotta understand it. You gotta understand it. Support your local artist. Support your local artist, man. When people send you their music, actually listen to their projects. I tell people that all the time. Listen to their projects. Go to their events. Repost their stuff. It's very, very important. So I'm excited to have you here. I think we had great conversation again, brother. And until next time, it's Capricorn season, nigga. Yeah, you gotta understand it. The Capricorns is in the building.
December.
And you know, come on now. You know, look, January, when your birthday? The third. January 19th, nigga, I'm on the cusp. I barely made it. You know what I'm saying? But Damo Gutta, man, this man is definitely on his way. Y'all support this brother, man. We're gonna make sure we tag all of his projects coming up. Unselfish Behavior Podcast, that is a wrap for this episode. And we out.
Still Gutta.
Yo, what's going on? It's your main man, King Q. If you liked that episode, be sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel, like, and leave a comment. And also, if you want to follow the movement, be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram @Unselfish Behavior Podcast. And as you know, we out.